You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast, where the penalties are made up and interference doesn't matter. Today's show is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. Be sure to get on it and put all your bets down on the Avalanche because they are 2-0, baby, taking down the Arizona Coyotes for the second game in a row. This one, well, I don't know. Do you feel good about it? Do you feel bad about it? Obviously, you feel good about the W, but to me, Arizona brought everything they had and still couldn't get the job done. As AJ's busy looking at presser information over there.
I was answering your question. yeah, no, honestly, you have to feel good. I mean, these are the playoffs. You don't apologize for victories, and you only have to win so many of them until you're lifting the chalice at the end. So, it's ugly. They didn't play very well. It didn't matter.
Yep.
You got the win. The whole point, there's no picking up a point. There's no fighting for tomorrow. There's none of that in a best of seven. It's first 1-4. However that sausage gets made, as long as you're first 1-4, you don't care about the rest.
Amen to that.
And
a dub is a dub.
To be honest, you play a great defensive game, a pretty good offensive game there in game one. And then you play a really average game in game two, and you're up 2-0 in the series.
Yep. All smiles at the end of the day for the Avs on that one. We'll get into the struggles a little bit, but let's start off on a high note first. AJ, DraftKings king of the game here. For me, I don't think it was even that close, and it was Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
He was like, just
great that Burakovsky got the game-winning goal. It was either going to be MacKinnon or Grubauer, honestly.
Yeah, that was the two to me. Grubauer held him to two goals, and MacKinnon was just on a mission in this game.
MacKinnon was insane. And look, Tyson Jones was good today, but come on.
Yeah.
There's no taking anything away from him, but you're not giving him king of the game over Nathan MacKinnon.
Tyson Jones put a great tip on, but if we can bring up the first goal here, I mean, just MacKinnon does think people shouldn't be able to do this, right? Like, MacKinnon, after Girard hits the post, first of all, and the Avs look to lose the puck, he hounds the puck down, helps Landeskog create a turnover, gets the puck, just is gone, and then puts a perfect shot on Kemper. No goalie in the league is stopping that shot. No defenseman in the league is catching that guy. It's just absurd.
Yeah, I mean, to be able to, you know, it's a great play by Landeskog, too, to just chip the puck around the defenseman.
Yep.
Knowing that he had stepped up, you know, that Demaris had stepped up and that OEL was still too wide. He just throws it off there and just says, hey, I'm going to have my best player go do the rest of this. And he does.
Usually a good strategy to go for, eh?
I mean, it's just that's the advantage that the Avs have with Nathan MacKinnon is that they have the best player remaining in the tournament.
Not
there's not nobody close. Else that you would take from any of these other teams over Nathan MacKinnon. The Avs have that feather in their cap every single game, and it's at this point. I mean, we've seen it coming. We've seen him; he's played really well, and now we're starting to see it getting put on the scoreboard today.
he got over his zero shots game and immediately started pulling the trigger in this one. Pretty darn close to having another goal or two as well as the game went on.
The fact that he only really that he only had the one, I really don't know how he didn't score in that third period when he blew by everybody and cut in. I thought for sure he was going to elevate that puck.
I thought so
for sure. I thought he had it. I was like, oh my gosh. It was a highlight waiting to happen, and instead it was just like, well, you know, Dom Filipovich will use this when he's talking about Nathan MacKinnon on Twitter again, but that'll be it.
Yeah, I mean,
he
was all over the place in a good way, and the Avs were kind of all over the place in a bad way in this game, in a lot of ways. Look, let's give credit to Arizona where it's due first. They massively changed up their style, were much more aggressive on the forecheck, and forced the Avs defense into a lot of turnovers in this game.
Sure.
Not convinced by that?
Oh, look, I'll give Arizona credit. That's the best I've seen them play in a long time.
Yeah.
They were really, really, really good today. I don't know that that's the reason why Sam Girard can't
make Sammy a 7-foot pass. Again, really, really struggled today.
Like, I don't think Arizona's doing anything to Sam Girard to cause this. It's not like they were hounding him all over the place and he just could not do it. He's just not playing particularly well. And I think that their puck management just isn't great right now. As a team, it was not great today. 2 days ago, it was phenomenal, but today it just was not. It was not very good.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, I mean, he scored an own goal. That sucks.
Yeah,
it's a desperation. You know, the Grubauer kind of pooped that puck out, and it was just like, all right. I mean, goaltending is hard, man. I'm not upset with Grubby on either of the goals. The second one I probably would have liked to have seen saved, but that's because I'm greedy.
On the first one, he made the initial stop.
Yeah.
So it's hard to complain about that one. The Avs, the Girard-EJ pairing got cratered in this game. They just got cratered. And yeah, to some extent.
Got better as it went.
It did. In the third period, it did get better. And I understand to some extent they're playing the top competition on Arizona's side of the ice. But I would like to see a little bit more consistency there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that EJ was great in game one. And he was just okay today. And I don't think G has shown up in the series yet.
I would agree.
And I'm not worried about it because you know he will. This is a dude that, you know, he's going to have a tough game here and there.
I mean, let's face it, if you want a round to figure out your defense and get some kinks worked out, it's a round one against Arizona. You can't afford it against someone like Vegas, but.
Sure. But I mean, this is how the playoffs work.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're a top team, you face lower teams.
Yep.
Early on. Like that's how the whole thing works. So. You know, I'm not worried at all about Sam Girard. He's going to be fine. I really didn't. I didn't like a lot of the defenders.
I didn't
honestly,
like any today. Of. Even Kale was just fine at best. Like none of the Avs D were super impressive to me.
Yeah, and I don't. I think Girard might have been the worst. Next to Graves, I thought both really had some iffy moments today, but I think the unit was mediocre.
Yeah. Cole did not have a good game, certainly. Girard, obviously. Makar was mostly invisible, to be honest. Yeah, he had the shot for the tip on Joe's skull, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyone can shoot a puck a foot wide.
they had a large number of shots on goal today. Every single one of them had a shot on goal, except – No, they all didn't. They all had a shot.
Did they have dangerous shots? It's a bit of a different story.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Gerard had three shots on goal today, but you can't have watched that game and thought, boy, Sam Gerard is definitely playing at his peak.
Right. Sam Gerard, we know three shots probably means he's not passing very well because he would prefer to pass compared to shoot. But
well, and he had one of those three shots, not included, as was his best scoring chance.
Yep.
Which came in that third period. And, you know, this is a team they're comfortable shooting from the outside like this. Maybe a little too comfortable, honestly.
I agree.
Today might have been one of those ones where it's like, guys, maybe, you know, 11 shots on goal from the defense. I think that's probably too many. Unless Cale Makar is going banana pants and he has 7 or 8 of them. I don't know that I ever want to see this defense with 11 shots on goal.
You're watching Nathan MacKinnon tear this team apart in the interior of their defense, and you're not leaning into it when you're giving your defense that many shots.
Yeah.
So, kind of would like to see them lean on the forwards a little bit more, but that is what it is. I will say, with MacKinnon's first goal in the game, the Avs have yet to trail in this series. There were plenty of ties in this game. Avs have never fell behind to Arizona through 120 minutes of hockey.
So, I mean, since they got to the bubble.
Yeah, they've trailed for like a short time.
They trailed for a little bit in St. Louis. It was like a period and a half.
And
then they trailed against
Vegas or something.
They trailed several times against Vegas, but never for all that long.
Right. They'd tie it up like 2 minutes later.
Yeah. Every time. So they really have not spent very much time playing from behind in this series. And honestly, I think that it shows that how comfortable they are in a close game.
Yep.
Because we haven't seen that desperation, that, oh God, we're losing, we need to push really, really hard kind of desperation. But today we saw how a good team closes, because they were right on it. I mean, you're tied in the third, going into the third period. You start the period on a penalty kill, and then nothing comes of that. And, you know, you get your own power play. Nothing comes of that. And then it's sort of like a feeling out process, a little back and forth. And then,
they just
drop the hammer again.
You talked about it during the game. And this isn't necessarily a good thing, but I think it comes from a good place, where you were talking about this Avs team almost looks too comfortable in the 2-2 third period, where they're being a little nonchalant about it. And that caused some issues for them. But when it got down to crunch time, they locked it in and they got the job done.
Yeah. And like, look, they got a good break. Arizona hit a couple of posts here and there. They got a funny bounce off of, you know, a Kadri shot that wasn't remotely dangerous and turned into the key play of the game. It bounces off somebody and it just goes right to Burakovsky, who almost misses a completely empty net. Yeah,
he tried to shoot that into Kemper.
Yeah, and it was just like, got lucky. Like, you got a good break on that. You just did. But, you know, when you're in a 2-2 game, you're susceptible to that. Yeah. Arizona has to feel a little bit cheated, just a little bit today. But at the same time, they also got lucky with Nathan MacKinnon not single-handedly destroying them.
Sometimes the puck don't lie, as they say.
Yeah.
So. Like,
there's Nathan MacKinnon could have scored 4 goals on his own today.
Yeah, easily. And we can get into the rest of that top line a little bit in the second period. But first, got to acknowledge Breckenridge Brewery. Got myself a little Breck Lager right here, sipping on it in the Winner's Lounge. Nice. If you want to get yourself some, you can, of course, always head on down to the DNVR bar, where we have 8 different types of Breck Brew on tap, or just go on down to the farmhouse in Littleton, get it right from the source, and use code DNVR. You schedule a pickup with them, you can get $5 off a meal if that is your jam. And of course, if you're still riding the high of this victory from the Avs, go on and get yourself some Strava Craft coffee. You can get that coffee cold brewed at the DNVR bar if you're hanging out there watching the games. Or you can pick it up and order online. When you use their subscription service, you get 20% off every single time you order. It's awesome stuff. Can really help with aches and pains, migraines, anxiety, you name it. They're awesome. Give them a try today. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So, top line. A lot of people concerned about Landeskog's turnover rates and Mikko's seemingly casual, ineffective play in this one.
I'm not worried about Gabe Landeskog at all.
Me either, to be honest.
He's played much better. The balance has been a lot more of the good. There's been some bad, but a lot more of the good. Like he skated and up into that guy on the zone exit and turned the puck over. But you forget about the three guys he skated through before that in the same possession. Well, like,
and as part of the Avs breakout, he certainly didn't have any more turnovers than anyone else doing that.
We don't need to spend any time on Gabe Landeskog as far as I'm concerned. I don't have any concerns about him right now. I think he's playing just fine.
All right, then. Moving right along to Mikko.
If he's not taking penalties and he's still going to chip in points every once in a while, yeah, good.
Moving right along to Mikko, then.
I think people are way, 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 way overblowing the way that he's played overall.
Yes, they are. He has 5 points, 4 points in the playoffs. So
I do think that there's a huge room for improvement. This I thought was probably his worst game. I think people have greatly overstated how poorly he's played as a whole since getting the bubble. I do think that this was not very good. And like, Arizona got so lucky. Like, you want to talk about getting fortunate? Mikko wins a foot race, and this was kind of indicative of his day. Every good thing was met with a disaster immediately after, where he wins a foot race, he gets to that puck, and he completely misses an open net. And you're like, what?
Yep.
And then he gets hardcore interfered with, and then they have a 6-on-4 advantage going the other way. And it was just like, if they score another damn goal because of an uncalled interference, I am writing a strongly worded tweet to the NHL.
If we can bring up Arizona's second goal here, you'll see exactly what AJ is talking about. The fourth goal of the game.
Yeah.
It's just – and look, we don't have to get too much into the Tyson actual Jones reffing from McCarr itself. And
EJ did get the other assist. At least
like,
he has.
You're
going to
see this watching in Cole here coming back. Just clearly cuts across the and takes circle, out Ian Cole's body here, scores. Which gives Grabner room to walk in. I mean, there was nothing but intent to interfere with Ian Cole on that play
and pick his spot.
So
that was such garbage. That's garbage, man.
Yep.
Also, second Avs home game, stop playing the damn howl. Score,
and you think, okay, the momentum is going for the Avs, and then all of a sudden,
it is a little bit weird that they play all the clips from both teams towards the net.
Yeah.
But
you saw Cole was upset because he got knocked down, and he had to spin. Now watch Cole.
To be honest with you, I don't think they need to play sound at all.
And then he's able to get out. If he had been standing like there's anyone up in the facing building. The play as he should have been.
If you want to play that stuff, you can pipe it directly to the TV feed if you're that needed for it on
just think
broadcast, but
you're trying to like create the in arena atmosphere. They're not playing the howl in Denver. Just right. Don't.
And I mean, look, it is what it is. The interference went uncalled there. That was blatant. And then part of me would have almost been okay with it if that's how they called it the entire game.
Right. Well, and then they turned around and they call
two super chintzy ones after the fact, and it's like, what are we doing here? So,
the officiating was bad today, and it was bad all over the place.
Yep.
It was incredibly frustrating because you're just like, imagine playing in that. You have no idea what contact you're allowed to make or not.
Inconsistency is the word here. I agree with Meeks.
Teams are good. I mean, players are getting away with it one shift, and then three shifts in a row, it gets called, and you're like, okay, well, which is it? What are we looking at here? You know, and then and you consider Arizona threw a huge fit after game one about the interference, the obvious interference on Derek Stepan that was called.
Yep.
Like, they were super upset. Like, what are they going to be upset about after this game? They should be just as upset. This is this nonsense, man.
It is what it is. Unfortunately, you can't go back and change the reffing, but we have some questions about multiple Avs players. Kind of skipped over Zadorov when it came to the defense. So he obviously got called for the penalty that honestly was pretty chintzy. He basically missed the hit and Grabner ran face first into him after the fact.
Yeah, I think that was entirely a classic optics call because his helmet popped off and you can't hit guys in the head in the NHL.
Yeah, but he didn't even really hit him in the head. Like,
yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. It was an optics call because... Yeah. His helmet popped off and it looked like he could have been hurt at the time. And it's like, okay, well, that honestly, that one doesn't bother me because I think that's a player protection call.
Sure.
He's looking at it and seeing a guy's, you know, guy's melons getting squashed and he's calling that penalty. Given how fast it is, given that there are 10 guys on the ice and only two refs and all the things that go on with sticks and whatever, when a guy's helmet, I would rather them err on the side of caution in that situation. I'm good with that. That penalty didn't bother me that much. And when I talked after the when I talked on the pod after game one and I said, hey, Zadorov has to be disciplined and he has to pick his spots because he will get called for the big guy penalty. That's exactly what happened. He has to pick his spots when he's going against smaller players. He's got to try and either lead with a shoulder or do everything he can to avoid head contact. If it still happens and they call it, then what do you do? But he's so much bigger than some of these, especially Arizona has a handful of these littler dudes. He's susceptible to that. So, but I don't have a problem with that one. That one was fine. And I'm not mad at him for that. I'm not mad at the refs for it. I think that's just one of those things that happens. And I'm glad Garland is okay.
Yeah. Obviously, you hope for everyone to be okay, first of all, but if we can backtrack a little bit. Obviously, Avs' third line kind of stood out as one of their stronger pieces in this game. They ended up scoring the third goal of the game. I don't know if we can skip right to the replay or not, but you're going to get the best view of the goal from the replay, which, look, I don't think it was that great of a setup. The Avs kind of got into the zone and threw a puck toward the net, and Tyson Jost just got a great tip on a puck. It's basically what this goal came down to.
Johnson behind the cage.
So, yeah.
Survey.
You can see.
Give it up. He'll reverse course.
Great job by EJ to get it in deep. And a nice pass that Confer almost ruined. But McCarr just throws it on net. Jost standing alone in front.
Might have been redirected in front by Tyson Jost. McCarr lets it fly from the point.
I'm sure Jost was trying to do that, but how much can you actually control a tip?
Either way, and Tyson Jost,
it's going to be hard to take Tyson Jost out for game three. We'll put it that way.
Well, let's look at that crossbar post. Oh, right. Oh.
Not knowing the status of Donskoy and with Namestnikov getting hurt in this game, I'm feeling comfortable with the idea that Tyson Jost plays tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just as a quick aside, JT Confer kicked ass today.
Honestly, if we're ranking the hierarchy of forwards when it comes to effort put into this game, or at least effort that showed up, Nathan MacKinnon, probably JT Confer too.
Yeah, it'd probably be Confer and Jost.
Yep.
They were really, really good today. And Confer, it sucks because, like, Confer's had some quiet games and then we'll pick up a goal late and everybody's like, oh, he's so clutch. And then today he plays out of his mind and then doesn't get rewarded.
And yeah. It's like, and it just kind of fades into the background on the stat sheet.
And you're like, well, he had a great game. You know, he actually officially got the assist because I think that puck deflected off of him.
Yeah, well, it banked off of him to McCarr.
Yeah, I think it had to have gone off like grazed his leg or something.
Right.
But he was so good today. And honestly, like, that's how good teams get through the postseason. That's how they make their way through a series of best of seven, because Phil Kessel was great today. Taylor Hall was great today. Clayton Keller was great today. Arizona Stars brought the Thunder. And Colorado, outside of Nathan MacKinnon, their big guns were pretty quiet. And so the way you're going to win games is you need other guys to step up and have strong games. That's exactly what happened. This is why you go out and you get dudes. This is why you go out and you get bad dudes to help you get through a postseason. Matt Calvert was awesome today. Everybody on Arizona hates Matt Calvert. They are two full games in, and they are over the denim daddy. They are over it.
Nobody wants to mess with the denim daddy.
It's true. That dude, mm-mm.
All right. I mean, yes.
Are we going to need Eric to make a shirt?
100%.
I mean,
denim daddy Calvert. Make it happen.
We need to call his agent and see if he wants to make the shirt.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think he would think it's hilarious.
He either will think it's the best shirt ever or like bordering on slander. One of the
right, or he's gonna be like, never talk to me again. Yes, yeah, some DNVR jorts. There yeah, we are.
Don't even just get right to the point here and make the denim.
No,
stuff.
No jorts in this company, please.
You're not. Can't you just imagine RK wandering around in those?
You know he'd love them. You know he'd love them.
I threw away a pair of jorts. I was like, no, not in this household.
We definitely need some DNVR yeah. jorts then. He's got to get them back.
Okay. All right, hold it together here. You alluded to it just to wrap up the second period. Near the end of it, we have a clip of Namestnikov's injury. Not going to speculate, but we'll show you the clip, and you can make your own decisions on exactly what you think is ailing Namestnikov. Unfortunate John Cena. Okay, yeah. Definitely need jorts, for sure. But, yeah, Namestnikov off of face-off. Unfortunately, it ends up being a little bit of a friendly fire situation here.
As do something, he'll do it, but he has not.
After Joe takes the face off, you'll see Nathan MacKinnon comes across, just collides with Namestnikov, and he struggles to get up and just walks off the ice and goes right down the tunnel. So
the way that he's struggling there looks scary.
Not good. Yeah,
yeah, because that didn't look like a
very big collision or anything,
like a, or right. like a leg or a knee. That's one where it's like he can't get his balance, and you're thinking you're worried about his equilibrium being off.
Yep.
So
it's obviously hope for the best for the guy. The reality is the NHL probably won't release any information on it beyond he's unfit to play. So we'll probably be in the dark on that.
Yeah. And it sucks because he wasn't playing very well. That's always a dude where when he has a tough period, he bounces back pretty quickly.
Yep.
And so I was actually looking forward, like,
here comes a big third.
Yeah, like Namestnikov's gonna come out with a little bit of fire and thunder of his own. And he just never got the chance to, and that was unfortunate.
The way hockey goes sometimes. God. I don't want to sound mean or negative, and Namestnikov has been great for the Avs, but every team takes injuries, and if your options are Namestnikov or someone else from the top six,
yeah,
Namestnikov feels like he got away with one a little bit.
I mean, we should probably have the Val Nichushkin conversation that he needs to get dropped.
Yep. The offense is not cutting it.
Dude. You could try and talk yourself into Christian Dvorak making a nice stick check, but Val Nichushkin straight up boofed an empty net today.
Yep.
Just a backdoor tap in. That was all he had to do, just get a stick on it. And
off of another incredible play by MacKinnon, by the right. way.
And just didn't even come close to it, honestly. Like there have been too many now quality chances that he has played a legit role in ensuring that they do not end up in the back of the net. that you need to start having the serious consideration of dropping him away from some of the skill players.
These type of games, these type of plays are why you give Val Nichushkin a prove it deal after this year.
Yeah. We were really curious how he would come back after the break and all that. And look, like, the defense is still there. He still looks great on a back check. He still looks great along the wall. All the things that you like about his game are still there, but we're seeing the hard cap on production.
Yep.
We're seeing the hard cap of the ceiling of his game and saying, okay, now we know where it is. You know, after a 13 goal season, I'm sitting here wondering where the hell did 13 goals come from?
Yep.
Because it just doesn't look, it's not dangerous. It's not effective. It's actively holding a line with Nazem Kadri, who's as locked in as he's ever been. Like, it's actively holding it back.
Agreed.
I think just drop him. And then, obviously, that was easier to do when you had Donskoy and Domestikov in your lineup because you had ready-made guys to move right in. If both of them remain out, then maybe you just keep him there for now because of lack of really good options, especially if JT and Jost are going to work like that together. Then you kind of just let that be.
I mean, it's tough because the Kadri line got murdered on possession in this game. I mean, they got and part of that is because Landeskog was moved up to the first line for a lot of the game. But you can't maintain like that. It's got to be better.
So yeah, well, and like, this is their first game together that they haven't been good. Otherwise, they've been lights out. So, sure.
But the swing was pretty volatile. You can't be that bad.
And honestly, like, when you have, and some of these line changes are game situation as well.
Yeah, right. Of course.
When you're 2-2 going late into the third, you're not just going to roll your lines. Yeah. You're trying to generate offense. So Matt Calvert and company aren't going to see the ice quite as much. You know, you know, Nathan MacKinnon is stealing shifts because he's full blown Super Saiyan mode. And, you know, you're getting him out there more often. Like, one of the things that Bednar does well is that he coaches to the situation in the game in terms of who he puts out on the ice. They do a good job of that. And
he's never afraid to roll MacKinnon. He's never afraid to put the three-headed monster together when he needs it. So
And then he's not afraid to make little tinkering changes. Okay, JT's playing well. Jost is playing well. Okay, I'm going to do this. Like, Nichushkin is reliable on defense, so I'm going to put him with – I could put him with anybody that's a little more offensively inclined, and he can anchor them. He can do a good job there. Like, there's lots of this and that, right? But – What I really like about how they've been kind of handling their business is that everybody kind of is starting to get comfortable in their roles, and they're really the coaching staff is very comfortable seeing these guys in different positions, so you can comfortably move guys around in game. You don't have to worry about chemistry. You don't have to worry about, you know, how is this going to work? All these guys know each other and have played really well with each other at some point, all over the lineup.
Just say win, Luke.
Right.
Jump on and do it whenever you want.
I'm a little nervous. He's going to pay us $100. What is he going to say?
That's it can't be worse than anything I've said. I mean,
I guess that's true. That's
Dude did this read in front of his parents the other day. I'm not worried about what Luke has to say.
Okay, I mean, I read it and I was like, I don't know, but okay, I'll trust you guys. I'll trust you.
All right. Anyway, on that note, it is time to take our second period break. Not Manscaped, but WGT Golf, the number one sports golf app out there, loved by more than 20 million people. Of course, you can join us, search for DNVR3 once you go to dnvrgolf.com to download, get in on one of our clubhouses. We have tournaments every single weekend, including this one. One starts tonight at 8 p.m. You can jump on there, beat all of the DNVR fam, and show off your digital golf stuff on true-to-life courses like Bethpage Black, St. Andrews, Bandon Dunes, many others as well. So it's awesome. Highly recommend it. Every time I play stroke play, I never do well, but every time we do closest to the hole, that's when I play well. That's when I get my leaderboard scores. So
I haven't talked to Adam, but we should be getting that ready tonight.
Yep. Again, 8 p.m. tonight-ish. It should go live for this weekend's tournament, so jump on while you can. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We kind of beat around the bush here. We talked about him a little bit at the top of the show, but Philip Grubauer holds Arizona to 2 goals on 30 saves tonight. For all the time he had off in game one, he had to do some work today.
He was very good today. He was very good. Really just the one goal against that you maybe don't love.
Yep.
And I mean, Grabner's 5 feet from him with an open look.
Was allowed to walk all the way in, basically. Yeah.
I would play Frankie tomorrow. This wasn't the kind of dominant performance that screamed, you have to play Groovy. Give him the rest.
He had to make 30 saves. It's not like it was easy either.
And to be honest, you're up 2-0.
Yep.
Like, look, man, we're not going to wear the jorts, okay? We're going to have other people wear the jorts. We have attractive people that work at our company that can model them for us. We don't have to do that ourselves.
Look, all right, look at our cameras right now. There's a reason they are where they are, okay?
Yeah, man. I don't ever wear pants for the pod. Let alone jorts.
I'm saying.
Get out of here. I would play. I'm playing Frankie tomorrow. You're up 2-0 in the series. If you get a win from your backup goaltender against their super high caliber number one, you're up 3-0 and you're loving life. If you don't, you're still up 2-1 and Grubauer goes back in on Monday.
Yep. I think
it's no problem. I'm not worried about anything.
Meanwhile, Arizona is staring down the barrel of having to play Darcy Kemper again tomorrow.
Well, and really not just that, but they put their best foot forward today. And if there's one thing that we've seen that is very, very, very hard to do in the NHL, it's to play your A game every single game, especially in a back-to-back.
Well, especially the morale cannot be high in Arizona when you play your A game and you still can't pull out the W in a game that arguably they might feel like they should have won, but they didn't.
Yeah, they could definitely feel like, We deserved a little bit better of an outcome. But at the end of the day, like if you look at how these teams actually played five on five in this game, the Avs had a 5-shot attempt advantage, a 3 actual shot on goal advantage. They had one more scoring chance. And then Arizona's one advantage here is that they had two more high danger chances than Colorado at 5-on-5. So you're talking about the thinnest of margins in that, and we saw it. The game came down to one bounce that went Colorado's way.
And let's be honest, neither team capitalized on power plays. We've said it a million times. Avs are a tough team to beat 5-on-5.
Well, this was the first game you can really be upset about the power play. It wasn't good today, and it was the first game in the bubble that they didn't score a power play goal.
Yeah, I'm not
every
even
other game. They have a power play goal.
I'm not even talking just Avs here. The Yotes power play didn't capitalize either.
Their power play sucks.
It's not.
And arguably, they're like when we joke about the Avs declining power plays, Arizona should.
Yeah.
Because it's sapping all life from that bench. Their power play goes out there, does dick for 2 minutes, and then they get back to 5-on-5, and they have to slowly rebuild all that momentum that they had going into the power play. That helped draw the penalty in the first place. They should straight up decline power plays. Their power play sucks. And that guarantees they will score on the power play tomorrow. I can live with it because it is not good.
Is this a P Sega Baba? Oh, wrong clip. Sorry. Is this a P Sega Baba? The playoff Sega Baba? The PS Sega Baba?
It's just a Sega Baba, man.
There's no playoff on that.
No, just let it be.
The acronym's got to get longer and longer and longer.
Yeah, this comment honestly is spot on. That Arizona's power play is what Avs fans think their power play is.
Yep.
It's 100% true. And I think they actually, percentage-wise, I think they finished pretty close to each other in the regular season. But since getting to the bubble, Colorado's power play had been really, really good.
And
today was the first day where it was like, this is bad.
After tonight, I think Arizona's power play in the bubble is down to like 13% or something abysmal. So,
yeah, I think they flashed that graphic that they've only scored twice in the bubble on it. Yep. And the Avs have like 5 or 6.
Yep. So, pretty stark contrast there. And while the Avs failed to take advantage, they didn't lose any ground either. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, the big thing here is that Arizona, we talked about it, that Arizona was going to come with the best that they have. This is a proud group. It's a veteran group. They were going to come with a certain fire today that they didn't have in game one. They were going to bounce back. We were going to see a really good Arizona, and we got the best of Arizona today. We saw what they had to give. It was pretty good, especially against a Colorado team that was not playing their best, and it wasn't enough. To me, that has to be demoralizing for Arizona.
Yeah, I agree.
How do you
beat this team if you can't win that game?
Yeah. I mean, they could say, okay, well, we're going to get back to it tomorrow, but they have to expect Colorado plays no worse than they did today.
Colorado brought their C game in this one. It was not great. They got by on a couple of players' Herculean efforts for the most part, and then a lucky bounce at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So if Colorado's going to play better and Arizona can't play any better, not a good place to be. We can kind of finish off here by showing the game-winning goal. Obviously, the Avs got a little bit lucky, but, you know, reward players
for hard work.
Yeah, exactly that. And you'll see the Kadri-Burakovsky line getting the job done here.
But the pass motion was just
always nice to see. Pretty simple.
Late, so
Cole gets it out. Burakovsky up to Calvert.
Yeah, it was bouncing on the near
just
side.
Gets it in the zone. And then they just track down pucks.
He'll have to dump
they find
it
players.
For Kadri, and that shot.
Not a great shot, but the bounce comes through.
Andre Burakovsky after the save by Kemper. He rips it home to give the
I'm not even going to try and talk over Mark Moser.
Yeah, Moser's loud. I was like, let the call breathe a little bit.
Wasted no time to put it into the back of an
empty net. Think we really need the replays on this one. So it's just a funny bounce. Avs hounded pucks. Simple as that.
I was watching the game as well as the DMVR Nuggets post-game show, which was at the bar. And when Burra scored that goal, our mics are so good, yet you could hear the noise from downstairs. Everyone was so stoked at the bar, which is just so cool. And they were like, wow, this is, you know, the Nuggets have lost their last three, right? I think they lost again today. So they were like, wow, look at this happiness down there.
You wow, look at a team that actually understands how to close.
Stay tuned. The Denver Sports Podcast after this. Maybe AJ will get into it with some people. Feisty Friday.
I mean, it's just true. Like, I don't mean to like, but look, if the Nuggets weren't trying to get Arizona, trying to get Utah in the first round, maybe we would have actually seen the good players play in the last few minutes of their games, but whatever. Regardless, the Avs are proving that they have the mettle right now, that they've got the toughness. They've got the mental fortitude to work their way through the postseason. Like, this is my biggest takeaway from the series. The Avs are the more talented team. They're up 2-0. They're in the driver's seat. I was really curious how the Avs were going to handle being a favorite. They haven't been a favorite. I mean, honestly, even going back to 13-14 when they were they won the division and they were the higher seed
really
against Minnesota.
Yeah.
They weren't really much of a favorite in that series. A lot of people picked Minnesota because they knew that Avalanche team was kind of fraudulent. That they got there on smoke and mirrors and crazy percentages that very obviously did not hold up. And I was curious how this Habs team would handle being a favorite. And so far, they're handling it just fine.
Outshot or outscored their opponents in third periods 8-1 in the bubble now.
Yeah.
They have closed games with ease, to be honest with
you. Yeah, and I mean, they've had two games in which they had third period deficits, and they erased both of them.
Yep.
And beat St. Louis and then lost to Vegas in overtime.
In fake 3-on-3 overtime, which, by the way, I'm just assuming AJ agrees with me, but 3-on-3 overtime in the playoffs is idiotic.
Yep.
Let them play real hockey until
this whole wins. Oh, once they get past double overtime,
yeah, no.
Get out of here.
But I heard AJ say that after 6 overtimes, it really wasn't actual hockey being played on the ice.
No, it's just a lot of guys just skating up and down the ice at that point.
But you still got to make them earn it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be for delaying that, like pausing it and resuming the next morning before I would be before 3-on-3.
Amen to that.
You earn a goal.
Keep playoffs real hockey.
Yeah, for 100%.
Like, about around
you and I could disagree about shootouts and all that in the regular season and all whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Regular season's got to end. You got to get home. We got to get sleep. We got to go to work tomorrow, son. Playoff games? No. Playoff games are too important. Stanley Cup is too sacred. You earn every single inch of that thing. So. Don't give me any. If it gets to 3-on-3, because you and the other team decide to take a whole bunch of penalties, and that's how you guys want to decide it, like gentlemen, that's your own business.
I appreciate you, AJ. I appreciate that lead in so much. All right, the Avs earned another inch of the Stanley Cup today, and if you want to earn a couple inches, perhaps below the belt, Manscaped can help you out big time.
Honestly, Allie is just the disappointed mom of DNVR.
There's no way whatever Luke does is going to be worse than that.
You
want right?
to earn some inches yourself? I can't.
Manscaped.com.
People are saying I trusted you guys and that's my fault. I understand everyone in the comments.
Look.
I made a mistake.
Between this and jorts, you should always have your faith in us.
Yeah,
we got this, Allie.
We're batting 2-for-2 so far as I'm concerned.
Every show I produce, we come up with a new thing. I'm loving it. I just got to produce every show.
Anyway, if you want to get your Manscaped on and get 20% off and free shipping, you can use code DNVR20 when you head to manscaped.com. Of course, if you don't need help in that category, you can always get things like breath mints or deodorant or whatever you need, cologne, any type of hair care, taking care of your body products. They have you covered one way or another. Again, manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping with code DNVR20. We're going to get out of here for the day on this post-game show as we have a bunch more post-game content coming your way, whether it be the Denver Sports Podcast, reviews, grades, you name it. All will be over on thednvr.com. If you're not subscribed, now is a great time to do it. We got Avs playoffs, Nuggets playoffs right around the corner, and of course, Rockies putting together a very good season. So now might be the time if you're considering subscribing. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening, whether it be live or after the fact. And you will hear from us again post-game tomorrow.